Yeah, I had I tried to, because I noticed on the first one that you sent out earlier, and I said that you can hear me breathing a lot.
Oh.
I figured it was because it was more near my nose.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm raising it up just a little bit so it's not near my nose face part.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the plumbest among us, the rickest Rick and Morty podcast. My name is Brian, and with me, as always, is El Jefe. El Jefe, ¿cómo está?
Sobrecito. Por favor, el baño, las bibliotecas.
Indeed.
I don't speak Spanish. I took German.
Jeff and I, along with our friend Dave, also host the Nothing Important Podcast. You can find that at nothingimportantpodcast.com, where you can hear us talk to people more famous and successful than we will ever be. Also, check us out on It's All Good Man, the Better Call Saul podcast at itsallgoodman.com. And also, make sure that you check in with us for every episode coming up in Season 3, plus as we work our way through the back episodes on the TV Time app, formerly known as TV Showtime. Make sure that you update, download it. It's the TV Time app. They have our Better Call Saul podcast. They have A Plumbus Among Us on there. It's awesome. You can interact with literally hundreds of thousands of people that watch the same TV shows you do. You can comment in the sections. You can rank actors. You can rank episodes. You can leave video comments. You can make memes. You can lots of shit, right, Jeff?
You can do stuff just to interact with other people instead of sitting in your basement.
That's right. So, TV Time app, get it for your smartphone right fucking now. So, today we're going to talk about episode 101 titled Pilot.
Mm.
Of course, it has to be titled Pilot, right? Because every first episode of everything ever is titled Pilot.
Well, unless they record the pilot and then they record a second episode after that, and that's what actually ends up being the first episode.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. Look at you, dropping knowledge already. I like it.
K-N-O,
so,
knowledge.
I got to tell you, before we get started, I kept hearing people talk about Rick and Morty. Never watched it. To my surprise, I turned on Hulu one day, and there's two seasons of the show. And I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'll watch Rick and Morty. 101, I've now seen it like a million times, it feels like. You could tell it was definitely the pilot, because out of all the episodes that they've made so far, it's cheaper done than the rest of them.
Not only just cheaper done, but the characters are very quelled in the way that they're developed. Rick is mm-hmm. very nice. Morty is kind of mm-hmm. overly Morty. Well, overly Morty for now, and then he becomes the same Morty mm-hmm. About halfway through the first season. Everyone is kind of just an archetype or stereotype of what they're supposed to be, and it's blatant, but it's also a pilot. You know, they're just trying to get this thing put out enough information to make sure that the programmers mm-hmm. can get hooked.
And as we go through this episode, I noticed some weird animation ticks that we'll probably never see again just because of the way that the animation and the show has evolved. So I'll be sure to probably point those out. And there's other little inconsistencies that I noticed that is interesting to me, that after the show had been picked up after this pilot, they didn't bring into episode 102 and going forward. So it should be an interesting conversation, because especially since,
once again,
this episode came out, three, 4 years ago now? I mean, it's been a while.
It's been a long, long mm-hmm. time. It's been too long, actually.
Yes, sir. So here we go. Episode 101, the pilot. All right, so we open. We see Rick bust into Morty's room. He's all drunk, telling Morty about his surprise. His surprise is that he built a spaceship in the parts he found in the garage,
which I'm glad they stuck with, that they still have, even 2-3 seasons later, all of the pieces on the sides that look like they're from boxes or whatever he cobbled
right.
it together
from. There is a bumper sticker on it that says I with a middle finger Shimmies,
because he probably does
fuck Shimmies or fuck you Shimmies. Fuck you Shimmies. But it's great, because I can only imagine what it was like seeing this for the first time when it first aired, and you just see Shimmies. It's another example of what we talked about during our discussion of 301, where it's just obvious they're just making up funny sounding words.
Right, but they're also trying to keep them as like a mm-hmm. Bible to something. You know, they're trying to keep a Rick and Morty book about things that they reference, things they bring up, so they can showcase them sometime in the future.
Rick announces that he has a bomb, but they're on their way to pick up Jessica because he's going to perform some sort of Adam and Eve experiment with Morty and Jessica. But, like, it's cool. Rick's not going to go after her, though, dude.
No, because it's all for Morty. It's all for you, Morty.
Morty kind of fights to take control of the spaceship from Rick. And Rick, I like how he just kind of acquiesces. He barely puts up a fight. And he's like, all right, fine. I'll land the ship. You know, it appears it was some sort of test or something.
Well, he makes it up as a test. It's probably just because he just got lazy. Realistically, especially knowing Rick later on. Yeah, he just probably got lazy with it. Like,
over it real quick.
Exactly.
Opening sequence. I know we don't really need to talk about it, but I love, especially after seeing all these episodes, I love how in the opening sequence of Rick and Morty, they add in scenes that have happened and scenes that have never happened.
Yes, and then those scenes that have never happened are eventually referenced. Some of them are eventually referenced forward. They're just trying to give you a little tease about what's going on, and as a pilot episode, trying to throw that in as, hey, stick with us. Maybe you'll find out why Jerry's giving birth to something.
The family's at the table eating breakfast together, and I love how Jerry just is making general conversation. And he just wants to know what people think about the new singing show and who they think are going to win.
Right, even though everyone else is talking about something completely different. He's just totally oblivious to what everyone else in his family talks about, which is a testament to the Jerry character the entire time. He's just all about himself, even though he tries to be about the family and doesn't realize anything that's going on in real life around him.
Morty collapses in the food. It's attributed to him practicing kisses on the living room pillows by Beth.
Yeah, which the dog sleeps on, so you don't want to just do that. You don't know where the dog's been outside, but they own a dog.
Summer busts a mouth. He says, well, you know, you're tired because you're out all night with Grandpa Rick.
Summer brings up that Rick takes Morty out for adventures at night, and the whole family
which
gets
upset. I love, because, again, it's up until that point, like, if you were watching it, it'd be like, oh, man, like, Summer knows, but nobody else knows about these adventures. But it was just out in the open from the very beginning.
Yeah, and it's been kind of kept from the parents a little bit. But at the same time, it's out in the open enough to where Summer knows. And is she sneaking around? Is she just there? Or do they just not care enough to hide it? And I like to think it's the latter, that Rick just doesn't give a shit. So he's just going to pull him out.
Jerry tries to scold Rick, and Rick just kind of asserts his smarmy dominance, you know, but, like, he's very manipulative, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And he's like, you know, like, you can say what you want, but schools, I know it isn't a popular opinion, but school is not for smart people.
Rick totally patronizes Jerry by saying, you know, you're the head of this household, and I know this. I'm well aware, you know, he's trying to kind of play down his role in the whole thing, which... We, you know, Rick, in his own mind, we find out eventually, is in charge of the whole family, whether they know it or not.
He's pretty much gaslighting the entire family.
Summer plays into her trope, her stereotype of a teenage girl. It's like, oh my God, Summer, or oh my God, I just want to die right now because everyone's arguing. And that's when Rick brings up, Summer, there is no God. You might as well rip this Band-Aid as soon as we can, just so you know.
Yeah, he's like systematically like tearing the family down and manipulating everybody. Because shortly after, he compliments Beth on her great breakfast and then brings up her mother and says, "Oh, I wish your mother was here to eat them." Really laying the foundation for how he's pretty much in charge of everything through mental and sometimes physical abuse.
Just like any adult or grandpa should be.
The good ones, anyway.
During that is when Rick brings up that he hates school and just goes off on the most ridiculous tangent about why he hates school, which honestly makes no sense. People just go to these places and they can sit there and 2 + 2 = 4 and whatever, just trying to kind of defend himself, but he has no rationale for defending himself because obviously Rick probably learned in school all the things he knows, or at least the basis for the things he knows. He just wants to make an excuse that he can steal Morty. And
plus, I also think he's relying on the fact where a lot of people try to be not confrontational. If somebody's going off on a tangent, a lot of people just kind of let people rail against whatever machine or system that they're railing against. So it's just easier to try to, instead of trying to quiet them down, it's just easier just to let them run their course, especially if they're already on their way out the room. One of the things that struck me, the next scene we cut to Morty at school and he's in math class. And in that previous scene you just brought up, Rick was like, you know, they say, well, it's 2 + 2 and you say 4 and the whole thing is stupid. But that's the first line when they cut to the class. The teacher says, you can hear him in the background, 2 + 2, 4. 5 + 5, 10, going through like the simple arithmetic.
Which is hilarious that it's simple arithmetic when they're obviously in high school. Like, they should be way past simple arithmetic.
I was just
going
to say, what grade are they in? Because if you listen to the audio track, it goes 2 + 2 is 4, 5 + 5 is 10. All right, time for a pop quiz.
Right, what kind of pop quiz are you giving to basically elementary students in high school?
Morty's super tired from the night before. We saw him fall asleep at breakfast. He's fallen asleep again in class. He starts to daydream. And
Jessica just comes into his dreams as he's creeping her out by speaking her name in the background, which is fine. We've all been there, right? I mean, we've all seen that girl in class that we just stare about and just repeat her name over as every answer.
As we fondle a middle-aged school teacher.
Right. Yeah, well, not yet, but he gets in that daydream, and she just really wants him to work those. Just play with them and fondle them around.
Yeah,
there's no wrong answers.
Or slap around. I do love when he comes out of it, and it's the reveal that he's actually fondling the teacher. And, you know, just before the scene cuts, it's not my fault this is happening.
Yeah, 5 more minutes of this, and someone's going to be in trouble. He's just enjoying what's going on. He's taking some advantages of being a teacher.
We cut to the hallway, and Morty's confronted by the bully. And I love how the bully threatens to cut him because his family's rich. Not Morty's family is rich. The bully wants to cut Morty, or he will cut Morty because his family's rich, which I think he's implying that he can get away with it because his family's rich and he'd be able to buy off whatever execution, but it's just so silly.
Right. It's that, again, trope of the rich kid who's also the bully because he's not loved by his parents or something like that. So he's just reaching out for help. But he also knows in the background that he can kind of get away with whatever because his parents have a lot of money. So it doesn't matter how much he stabs Morty in the middle of class or in the middle of the hallway.
It's all fun and games till you're frozen by Rick, fall over, and then you explode.
If I had a nickel.
It pretty much sums up my entire high school experience. When he falls over and the ice breaks apart, obviously killing the bully, it happened right in front of Summer. Because she was so into him. She was so excited about just even crossing paths.
Yes. I'm going to be near him. Oh my gosh. This is so great because he's all by himself in the hallway and I'm all by myself. It's like the perfect, it just needed music in the background to be her perfect sunset.
Summer just wanted to be part of Frank's life. And now Frank has no more life for Summer to be a part of.
Well, he does. It's just in very small pieces. So, but before Frank is shattered is when Rick shows up to start taking Morty out of class because he has a very important mission that he needs Morty for and tries to convince Morty, even though Morty knows he's only been to class or school, as far as we find out, for hours the entire semester, that, you know, he needs to go with him. And Rick convinces him very well, and he just kind of goes, some argument, but very little.
Yeah, we find out later it was actually 7 hours in the last 2 months that he's been showing up for class.
Which is amazing, by the way.
That's a pretty solid, I guess, free time, PTO. It's a pretty solid PTO.
Paid time off for a kid. Yeah, that's paid time off.
Cut to the horse hospital that Beth works at. I love the fact that the hospital itself is shaped like a barn, like the classic red and white barn.
Well, it's for horses, so it's to make them feel comfortable, I'm sure. Fit them in their stable environment.
Jerry drops by. He has the nursing home literature. He has this dumb plan. He's going to drop it on the ground and be like, oh, look at it. I found it on the floor. Oh, nursing home? Hey, let's put your father in a nursing home. Not the best plan, and I love that Jerry actually references that. Good idea, bad pitch. He even says that.
Which is nice that he's self-aware of how shitty he is.
See, the thing about Jerry is you kind of touched on this earlier, he's not even really dumb. He lacks a lot of confidence. His intentions seem to be the most honest, pure. Like, he honestly seems like the nicest person in this entire show.
Absolutely. Like, he gets how life is supposed to be or how things are supposed to work. Everyone works around him to do those. but he just has zero balls. He can't stand up for himself or any of his morals or any of the things that he's trying to do for his family, which is hilarious and sad at the same time.
We're back to Rick and Morty. They're in an alley for whatever reason, and I guess to conceal the portal, but apparently this is no big deal, so I'm not sure why they had to use the portal in the alley. But they cut through, they go to Dimension 35C that has the perfect climate conditions for the mega trees, which of course produce mega seeds, because why wouldn't they?
Oh, it just totally makes sense. Why wouldn't a mega tree produce mega seeds? Otherwise, that's just stupid.
It presents a couple great opportunities. One, it gives Rick a good chance to give some sage advice. Most notably, running head-on into problems and charging into them like a bull. It's how people grow.
Yeah, he's very father figurely. I think Rick at this point is trying to still be a father figure to Morty,
even though his advice is terrible. Like, just charge head on into problems, because that's how people grow.
It doesn't have to be, as long as he says it like an old sage, then it makes
it's
sense.
It's pretty much like an equivalent. It's kind of like it's incorrect for all the right reasons. Most people's parent figure would say you got to face problem heads on, but the way Rick's saying it is, just without a plan, man, go for it.
Yeah, just fucking head on into stuff and don't worry about it. Shit happens, whatever. Which is what they do. That's what they do. They just head on to it wherever they're at in 35C, and all of a sudden they're surrounded by monsters. Or they see things in the distance, and then a new monster that Rick has never seen before just shows up, and Rick has no idea how to deal with it, so they just run.
Look at that thing. I don't even know what that thing is. It doesn't even make sense, that thing. And it has, like, the weird tentacle on the back that it, like, smacks itself on the head and then tumbles over sideways like an egg.
Yeah, right. It's a stupid animal. There's no reason it should be alive in any dimension.
Then they're chased by another monster, but that leads them onto a cliff where they can oversee the valley with all the mega seeds. And, of course, they got to get down there somehow. So Rick gives Morty the grappling shoes, tells him, you know, with these shoes, hey, you can walk pretty much on any surface. Neglects to tell Morty to turn them on, and Morty just, like, careens off the cliff.
Before that, though, in Rick's sagely advice as a father figure, he's sure to note that, you know, hey, if we would have done what you wanted to do, which is go back to school, you know, we never would have shown up to this, because you're so in love with school.
Again, mocking him for something that's universally considered, like, a good... Like a good trait.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Like, you're supposed to want to go to school, but in Rick's world, that makes you weak or an idiot. So Morty falls off the cliff, you know, like, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. So we go back to the horse doctor. Jerry and Beth are fighting, and fucking Gavin. Gavin interrupts.
Gavin is so sexy, though.
For a cartoon dude. You know, like, I'm not gay, but, you know, Gavin's a looker.
Yeah, he is. That tan and that blonde hair, I'm only like half that.
Mm. And I think this is the moment that actually sold me on the show. Because, you know me, I love cartoons. I watch all sorts of cartoons, more cartoons than I watch. In fact, we do the Better Call Saul podcast, but Better Call Saul is probably the rare exception where I watch an actual TV show that's not animated.
Yeah, no, I know. We've lived together for a very long time.
Right. But I think here, so as I'm watching this, I remember watching this for the first time, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this is good. I don't really see what the hype is about. Like, okay, so they travel, and the family kind of knows about it, and this guy's like an asshole, and he's obviously super intelligent, but he gives, like, bad advice, and he's manipulative. But I think what sold me on Rick and Morty is after Gavin interrupts the fight between Jerry and Beth, Jerry says, since we're fighting, if you have an affair with that guy, I'm going to show up at the hotel room and I'm going to
blow my brains out all over your naked bodies just to make sure it's vindictive.
That is, I think, what sold me on the cartoon, that line alone.
Which is especially classic delivered by Chris Parnell, the way he just delivered it like it was no big deal. Oh, as an aside, I'm going to blow my head off all over your naked bodies. Just saying. Oh, in that whole defense, though, you know, Beth tries to defend Rick since he was outside of her life for so long that, you know, why should they send him away? And Morty actually seems to have a friend, because we find out there that Morty is some weirdo kid at school that doesn't have any friends, which is sad.
Right here in my notes, in big letters, I wrote, wait a minute, Morty's first friend is Rick? poor Morty. He's made it all the way to high school, and his first friend is Rick.
Right, is his grandfather who shows up out of nowhere that he's never had a relationship with. Yeah, it's kind of sad.
And this rather spirited discussion is now interrupted by a phone call from Principal Vagina. No relation. I'd like to think that was just a dumb throwaway joke that they said in the vocal booth, and then they just kept it because it's totally an unprompted qualifier.
Right, because who has the last name of Vagina? Ever. I don't care what language it is. No one has the last name of Vagina. But just for them to throw that, use that as a simple throwaway, no relation, as though you know someone else whose
last
name is Vagina.
Like there had been some major confusion before. It's like, as if there's like they're the Smith. There's just these giant enclaves of people with the same last name that happen to be Vagina. And, you know, you want to let people know, like, hey, I'm not related to the Vagina across the street.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm not related to that Vagina who was president. I'm not related to that Vagina who was the leader of the Nazis.
Yeah.
Any of that kind of stuff. Yeah. No relation.
We catch back up with Rick and Morty, and Morty's legs are busted. And this is one of the animation things that I don't think we'll see again. So what I'm talking about, the way that Morty's legs are busted, it's not just like it's like at some sort of weird obtuse angle, is that his leg will cut like a right angle and then go around in a square just to, like, go back to another right angle and then, like, create another L. So just the way that...
Yeah, very cartoon animation for a broken leg. Or to accentuate a broken leg, I guess.
Right, and both of his legs are janky like that, and it just struck me watching the rest of the series, the animation and stuff is so much more refined and the style is so much more, not really modernized, but I can't see them using like that type of visual gag again, because I don't think it'll fit with the later tone of the show.
Yeah, and I think that attributes to the fact that it's become a slightly more serious for a stupid cartoon. You know, so they try to keep it a little bit more real about what's going on, because I mean that's definitely like a cartoon trope when you have legs that or any broken bone and it's just like backed up upon itself.
Morty's writhing in pain and his little scrunchy legs are twitching. Rick's kind of despondent. Yeah. Like now he's educating Morty, like, well, you know, that would have never happened if you turned the shoes on. So he's pretty much putting the blame on Morty. Like, exactly. Well, that's your fault. How did you not know?
Hindsight 2020.
Yeah. So Rick almost gets annoyed at the moaning of Morty, goes into a portal. And he brings back broken leg serum, which apparently is very common and in every drugstore in the universe that Rick went to.
Right, and he knew exactly which one to go to, so he could get the broken leg serum, and that's fine, but at the same time, the broken leg serum is also a dimension, since they have broken leg serum at every corner drugstore. Everyone is youthful, and everyone still is teenage. So Rick is accosted, as far as according to his story, he's famous almost because he's old, and he just has thousands of rounds with a lot of attractive ladies that are there. He spent too much time in the alternate dimension, which leads to the depletion of the portal gun.
If I were a teacher, I guess it'd be physics or astrophysics. This is how I would use to illustrate that time is relative, is this one clip of this TV show. Because in our time, it was 12 seconds of watching Morty writhe in pain. In Rick's time, inside the other dimension, it's pretty much implied he was there for, like, years.
He was there for long enough to be able to brag about it.
Right. So, any teachers out there, if you're talking about, times and space and how time is relative, I would urge you to use this clip from this show.
Exactly. Screw Einstein and those theories.
And, of course, everybody knows what happens when your portal gun runs out of charge. The only way that you are going to get back is through interdimensional customs.
Well, how else? Really, how else? I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense.
Of course, to bring it back, the mega seeds. And the only way to get the mega seeds through interdimensional customs is to stick them way up your butthole.
Way up your butthole. way up your taut,
malleable
young butthole, malleable butthole. I do like to point out before that, when Morty is complaining, Rick has some of the most hilarious drool that happens in the whole series. He's just standing there looking at him stupefied. And he has a piece of his green drool that goes down past his knees. And then he sucks it back up to tell Morty that, yeah, just shove him up your butthole. It's no big deal.
Right. Again, another animation tick that we probably wouldn't see, that it was almost like very Ren and Stimpy-esque because his eyes were slightly askew. And
right.
You could tell this is obviously early concept of what the show would later become, because I can't foresee that facial expression from Rick ever happening again later down in the series.
Absolutely not. That's more with the semi-realism they try to stick to, besides Rick always having odd green drool out of his mouth when he's drunk.
But that like zoned out, like weird, like Ren and Stimpy-esque face where the drool is like half the length of his body, for no, you know, and he's kind of hunched over, you know, and then he sucks the spit back up. Like every time I watch the pilot, it stands out just because it's just like the leg thing. You'll probably never see like that style of visual gag again.
No, and I understand that. But after that, though, Morty decides that he is he'll play along. He's going to shove those seeds way up his butthole, and then you cut to customs where Morty's walking out of the bathroom very uncomfortably. But that's where we get our first glimpse of words that are spoken by aliens that turn out to be actual things in the series, like Blumflarks. The very first alien he walks by is talking about how someone else doesn't know about the international currency of Blumflarks.
Right. Yeah, they don't know how the intergalactic currency works. Is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, the next alien is talking about Flim Flam, which... What do you mean you don't know about Flim Flam? That's what we eat. We eat Flim Flam. Just total throwaway nonsense language that was probably just made up on the spot and then animated over, if anything. Just because it's so dumb. But fantastic, and they stick with it.
World building, because all the background has actual, like, tenable things to them, you know, like the currency, like whatever that weird species of fucking alien, whatever the fuck Flim Flam is, you know, it's world building. They're setting the stage for the greater universe.
So they decide they have to go through customs, and then that's where we cut back to the school real quick to check in, and that's when we find out from Principal Vagina, no relation, that Morty's only been there for 7.5 hours, or 7 hours in 2 entire months of school. He's walking through with Beth and Jerry trying to explain this to him. They walk past Frank's icy corpse, I guess, if you want to say that. Icy cubist corpse, whatever you want to talk about. And then there's a small memorial set up that Summer's bawling at. And he just wants to make sure that, you know, they're respectful to the student. But it was not caused by someone who's Hispanic. Doesn't want to turn a racial thing.
There's no evidence that a Latino student did it. Which is good.
Exactly.
I commend Principal Vagina for getting out in front of that.
Right. You don't want that kind of thing to start in your school. Mm-hmm. That's going to cause a race riot, like in a prison or something.
Once that ship has sailed, you can't bring it back to port, man. Like, so it's nice. It's comforting, really comforting.
Exactly. As a leader. Yeah. After that, they get into line for customs for the equivalent of an airline check or that kind of guard, and Rick's explaining to Morty that this is just some type of bureaucracy BS, and he hates bureaucracy. He hates that, which is a total sentiment to the entire way that Rick feels the entire series. He just does not want to be told what to do. He has to, so they stand there, and they wait in line, and then all of a sudden, when it gets up to the checkpoint, Rick can go through, but Morty has to go through the extra security check.
I've been there. Yeah, you're the one guy who's picked out. That has actually happened to me in life several times. It's absolutely the worst. Yes, I think I've talked about it before on Nothing Important, but I've actually almost got into a fist fight with a TSA agent at O'Hare Airport. They have to run because he has the mega seeds way up his butthole.
Right, and so and they just so happen to have new technology that detects things up people's butts for the first time in intergalactic, or sorry, interdimensional customs. They have butt scanners. They have rectal scanners.
Well, I mean, it's about time, right? It's for our safety.
Well, you'd think so. Yeah, exactly.
They're hauling ass through the interdimensional customs. I love how they're knocking over experiments. There's like this big chubby pink guy, and for no reason, Rick slaps the hookah off the table on him, and the big pink guy cries.
Like, yeah. It's almost like they ran through an airplane at that point, though. It was just a weird thing that they ran through.
Well, it was the terminal.
And the way that the seating was, it just looked like to me like a like an airplane
maybe,
or a
maybe
shuttle.
They did
or
go, maybe they did go through different that, shuttles as such, because, right, there was the, like the weird creature that like landed on the ground, grew into an adult, and then died as he was running.
Which came out of the hookah stench that Morty walked through and inhaled and then exhaled right. and threw up. And then he turned into, he went from a baby to an adult and then just died. They're running through in a terminal and they get to a dead end. And this is another piece of the Rick and Morty relationship that I think is important, that Morty, freaking out, remembers now he has to turn on his shoes so that they can run up the wall and escape over the top of the bathrooms and everything else that they were at. And Rick actually congratulates him. The student has become the teacher. You know, as though their relationship is more than just the what we've seen so far of the very sarcastic dad figure or father figure and whatever peon that he's trying to manipulate. You know, he's actually trying to be positive and encourage him to keep along going with him, which, I mean, shortly after that.
That's one of my favorite pieces of animation, too, in the pilot. Is because there's a what I'm assuming is some sort of like heating or cooling vent, you know, like a like one of the big and Rick's running on top of it towards the camera while Morty is kind of like underneath and to the side, running towards the camera as they're trying to escape. And I love that piece of animation. It's showing off the chute.
They're running around the cylinder that way. Yeah.
Rick and Morty finally arrive at the portal. Rick's over there tapping stuff in, trying to, I guess, get the coordinates back to C-137. He hands Morty the gun, and you know, Morty's like, pretty much, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? And Rick's just like, well, fucking shoot him. Morty doesn't want to kill anybody, but Rick convinces them that they're robots.
Yeah, he convinces them they're just robots, and then after the first two shots, he blows off the leg of one of the bug creatures, and he lays down, and another one comes up to him. Lem's bleeding to death. Oh, my God. And very much shows that they're not robots. They were just robots in the metaphorical sense, that they are part of the bureaucracy, therefore they don't matter. Right, which means they should not be respected, as and all bureaucrats.
That's true.
Should not be respected.
And there's another great moment, too. You have the two Gromphlemites, which are the bugs. They're Gromphlemites. So you have the two Gromphlemites taking cover down the hallway, shooting at Morty. Morty shooting back at them. Morty manages to pick off one of the Gromphlemites, and it's actually kind of sad because it only lasts for about a second and a half, but as the one that gets shot collapses towards the ground, his cover man, who was covering him, gets a really sad look on his face and just like gently reaches towards the dead body, but then is forced to duck back because Morty's still trying to peg him off.
It's hilariously humanizing to these non-human characters, these anthropomorphic characters, especially since that was the one thing that Morty was trying to avoid, was really killing anything. And instead, he's just murdering the hell out of everyone that's there. But then eventually, Rick gets the coordinates put in so they can jump in and has to grab Morty by the back of the shirt and jump
Which
in the portal.
They, thank God they came out at the cafeteria of Morty and Summer's school. Like, whoo, what a good coincidence that was. Jessica was super impressed, though.
Oh, absolutely. Well, wouldn't you be, though? If you came out of a portal on top of your lunch table?
Again, they're so nonchalant about all the sci-fi happenings, because she even says, like, did you just come out of a portal? Like, she's super intrigued, and now has finally taken notice of Morty. And, of course, Rick fucks it up. Rick pulls her away. Pulls him away.
Yeah, well, he's trying to, Morty's trying to be smooth, saying that his Ferrari's in the other shop, which is lame. the totally most lame thing you could say. And it just so happens, that's where Principal Vagina brought Beth and Jerry.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that all just happened to come about by sheer circumstance.
It's weird the way that things work out.
Rick tries to play it off like, "Oh, Morty, what are you doing here?" Like, but I like how he even knows, like, nobody, not buying it. Okay.
and Rick's but that's a testament to later in the series where Rick's a terrible liar, and that's fine. So what he does instead is just explains the blatant truth to people about what's going to happen or what has happened, and people would just blow that off like it's no big deal. But whenever he tries to lie about something, they figure out that this is a lie. This is sad, actually, that you're trying to lie so much about it. So instead, he just says the blatant truth, and people just blow it off like it's no big
deal.
Back
at the Smith's garage, I love the argument between Jerry and Rick, where Jerry pretty much says Rick is beyond reason, and Rick's awesome comeback is, "It takes one to know one."
Right. No grammatical reference, just kind of just a whatever I could think of off the top of my head, which wasn't good. I just need to throw something out there to defend
myself. It's like
when
you anticipate a greeting from somebody. Like, you're anticipating somebody to say, "Hey, how you doing today?" But what they say to you is, "Busy today, huh?" And then your response is, "Fine."
Exactly, yeah. Which, I do that all the time on the phone. I have to call people for my job. And it's usually very unscripted scripted. You know, you say the things, and that's how it goes on phone customer service type things when I have to call somebody. And then someone just tries to be polite like an asshole and throws you off script. So you're just sitting there like, "Yeah, great." Even though they ask you a question. And you seem like kind of an asshole who's not there to pay attention to them. Because, well, really, you're not there to pay attention to them. So,
Beth,
customer service tip number one, quit trying to be friendly.
Beth and Jerry at this point are pretty much determined that Rick's got to go to a nursing home, which is hilarious on his face, because there's obviously no way they could enforce it, especially with a character like Rick. Pretty much at this point, everybody is, you know, Rick's going to a nursing home. Morty's an idiot. Everybody thinks Morty's dumb. I like how Morty pretty much asks Jerry, "Am I dumb?" And he tries to be a sympathetic father, but because he's super awkward, he can't express himself in a normal way. So Morty's like, you know, like, "Dad, am I dumb?" And he's like, "Well, dadoy, son."
Dadoy.
Which is the most polite way to say, "Yeah, you fucking idiot." But he tries to...
He's just trying to get down to his level. He's just trying to get down to that child level with and use the vernacular of the time 20 years ago, dadoy.
Which is usually derisive. It's derisive, but Jerry's using it in a very caring manner. Because it is his son, after all.
Yes.
And, right, of course
he doesn't
not.
Want to offend him, telling them that he's a special
And Beth makes the point, you know, like, Morty's not, like, a hot girl. He can't just pack up in the middle of his life and bail and be all right, which a lot of truth in that. Hot girls can pretty much do whatever they want in life.
Yeah, all they have to do is find that one sugar daddy who's willing to put up with their bullshit because she's
hot. And that
hot
doesn't seem like it'd be very hard to find. Like, hot girls are definitely, like, the most powerful people on Earth. But Rick takes this as an opportunity to get his way by stating Morty's not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And he has Morty give out the square root of pi, which I know you have written down, so go ahead and say it.
I don't have the actual number written down. No, I just have the I have square root of pi, and then the next one was the first law of thermodynamics, which is a very complicated explanation versus what you normally see in a textbook of the first law of thermodynamics. So good for the writers. Yeah, but they use that to say that you learn through experience instead of, you know, textbooks and all that other bullshit. So somehow, Rick is saying that through their experiences, he learned math, very complicated math, analytical algebra or calculus, whatever you want to call it, for the square root of pi, and advanced physics for the first law of thermodynamics, especially given
such an
explanation.
The kids in school all day are learning it. Morty is living it. Or apparently
exactly.
So.
There is no better experience mm-hmm. than experience.
Summer, during all this, busts through the door and talks about Frank dying at school. But what, 1, 2, 3. During all this, Beth and Jerry decide, okay, well, pretty much their deal is this. Like, you can go on adventures with Morty, but Morty still has to go to school. Rick counters with, okay, that is an acceptable proposition, and thus I will be honest going forward, just in time for Beth to burst through the door and say that her crush Frank died today, and without skipping a beat, Rick, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
And the parents, where the fuck did Beth and Jerry go after this? They just left.
Beth and Jerry walked back into the house as Jerry somehow got some man back into himself.
He wants to put...
And then awkwardly proposed that he would have Beth if Beth had yeah. him. So it was a very awkward way to say, right. let's and, go have sex.
She's not...
And all Beth did was like, yeah. all right. Knocked him on the shoulder, like, let's go, buddy. Let's try this out.
And, of course...
Because that's how terrible their relationship is.
And, of course, that is when we get the classic Rick. For all intents and purposes, Rick's rant pretty much breaks down to, you are now my slave for the next 100 years, and nobody can do shit about it.
Which is exactly how yep. things progress. It's mm-hmm. it's not a lie. He holds to that here in the next mm-hmm. at least 3 seasons, or what we've seen mm-hmm. so far of the next 3 seasons. And just honestly, Morty is forced to be his slave, to show up wherever he wants to, and is forced to do things that he does not want to, only because basically Rick says so. And Rick uses all the manipulation tactics he can, whether that be fake experience or fake knowledge or whatever, just to get mm-hmm. Morty to do what he wants. As we talked about here a couple days ago or weeks ago, depending on when this airs, he mentions that it's 100 years right now. 100 years, Rick and Morty, Rick and Morty Adventures.com, and all this, which it just goes off on it. When he goes off on his Szechuan mm-hmm. rant, that's 97 years, which is mm-hmm. 3 years after the 100-year speech. And also, I did check this out. All of the websites that mm-hmm. he talks about, that he just kind of makes up, are real websites you can go to. And they all direct to the William Street website nice. For Cartoon Swim.
Nice. I love it when they do stuff like that. Like, TV shows have phone numbers or whatever, and it's like they have like a real life equivalent. That's just kind of part of the marketing now.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, for a pilot, a pretty good pilot. Like I said, the thing that sold me on the Rick and Morty series is Jerry's threat to blow his brains all over the naked body of his wife and the super sexy and hunky Gavin. There's some weird animation things that are just a little too cartoony for its quote-unquote reality, based in reality tone, I guess is what it is. It'd be the tone, right? Because it's a cartoon.
Sure.
The tone.
It's a cartoon based in reality about interdimensional travel.
Exactly. And from here on, I was sold on it, and I was like, okay, 1, 2, 3. So it sold me on it as a good cartoon, but something I didn't think that I would watch over and over and over. But it just so happened I didn't have anything to do that day. And I ended up watching episode 102, and that's when I became a fan of Rick and Morty. So, like, that scene in the pilot, all right, sold me on it. This is a legit show. Then at least, like, hey, I could watch in my downtime. But it's the next episode, 102, which we will be talking about next week, that really sold me on the show.
I was just sold on the, mm-hmm. the concept, personally. Mm-hmm. I'm a sci-fi nerd when it comes to that kind of thing, as we've spoken about before. And the fact that it was taken seriously enough mm-hmm. to be consistent, but not seriously enough to know that it's a complete hilarious mm-hmm. joke. Like, the entire concept mm-hmm. of the show is a joke. That sold me. I mean... I'll give away the fart jokes and all that other mm-hmm. kind of stuff that show up there, because I'm an idiot and I'm like 7 years old. But the fact that they are sticking with that concept of serious mm-hmm. sci-fi, that's not taking themselves too seriously really, really sold me, at least to watch the next couple episodes. And, you know, those next couple episodes also locked me
absolutely. Well, those of you listening out there, what locked you into Rick and Morty? Was it this episode that really got you into the show? Did you not like the pilot and then happen to pick up in an episode later? Let us know on our Twitter, Let us know on our Twitter, A Plumus Among Us. That is on Twitter. You can also email us, host@nothingimportantpodcast.com with your comments. Make sure that you subscribe on Google Play. Make sure that you subscribe on iTunes. Make sure to leave those reviews for us. We love that. Love the reviews. Also, make sure to get the TV Time app, formerly known as TV Showtime. Get the TV Time app. You can discuss this episode with hundreds of thousands of other Rick and Morty fans. Plus, you can also find A Plumus Among Us in that app as well. Make sure to check Jeff and our friend Dave out on the Nothing Important Podcast, where we talk to people more famous than we ever will be. Or if you're into Better Call Saul, make sure to check out It's All Good Man, the Better Call Saul podcast, which can be found on iTunes at itsallgoodman.com. And before we go, Jeff, I just wanted to bring up the Moo Men one time.
Shut the fuck up about Moo Men.